Hello, Buzz. How's the weekend?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Down at Shark Park, and a good win, as you, Laurie, just said, without Matt Moylan and without Will Kennedy, to lose two players out of your spine. They just got the job done. Nothing overly impressive, and they remain in the top four. So I had a good night out, mate.
Yeah, Buzz, you watch the Sharks more closely than I. They just seem to, I don't know, fall over the line against some teams, but the more credentialed teams, they play their best footy against.
Yeah, they do. And look, as I said, it wasn't their greatest performance on the weekend, but look, whatever Crayford's given son down there, they just keep turning up every week. They're a very consistent football side. And look, I think they can hang on and make the top four because they've probably got one of the better runs home. And he's done a terrific job with them this year.
Buzz, no doubt the big story of the weekend was Ricky Stewart and gee, we've got a lot of people having their say, certainly getting stuck into Sticky on the text line this morning, but punishment do you think he will get?
I think it was so serious what happened that we'll be looking beyond a fine this time. And look, I did a story with Bulldog Richie this morning, and I think Andrew Abdo was so angry about it yesterday that he'll probably look at some sort of suspension. It might just be standing down for 1 week or 2 weeks or whatever. Look, I, like Laurie and a lot of other people in rugby league, are very close to Ricky, but this is a situation where you just cannot defend him. I look at it this way. There are two Ricky Stewarts. There's one who runs the Ricky Stewart Foundation and has raised millions and millions of dollars over the years for kids and families that are dealing with autism. And it's really, really beautiful work behind the scenes. Then there's the other Ricky Stewart who gets emotionally worked up, who can't control his emotions sometimes in press conferences after the game. And for him to drag up something that happened when these boys were kids, was obviously the wrong thing to do and very disappointing. Look, my kids and my family have grown up in the Shire. They went to the same school as Jamin and Ricky's kids. And in the Fair Dinkum department, Jamin, as a young fella, had a reputation as a bit of a problem child. And look, there are obviously some issues that have been boiling away with Ricky. He hasn't had closure on them, and he exploded. But it was the wrong platform. It really was. And you can't use an NRL press conference to use words like weak gutted dog about other players. And he was apologetic yesterday. Obviously, if he had his time over again, he would never have said it. But the thing is, he has been said, and the NRL will rightly come down hard on him. So, look, I hate seeing these things happen in the game. We've had another great round of rugby league, but everyone is talking about it from the weekend rather than the skills and excellent performances from a couple of the sides. It's just really, really disappointing. But as I said at the top, I just can't, Ricky's done the wrong thing here and he's going to have to pay for it.
Now, you've written extensively in the Telegraph today about hip drop tackles, Buzz. What did you uncover?
Well, I went back over the last 4 years, Middo and Laurie, and people who think it's a recent problem in the game should have a look at this story, because there's actually been 42 hip drop charges and players found guilty in the last 4 years. And there's really interesting commentary on this one, particularly last week after Jackson Hastings broke his leg in the tackle by Patrick Carrigan, as though it was a recent problem in the game. Hayes Dunster was obviously hurt badly early in the season. But of those 42 players, really, really bad tackle that's been in the game now, as I've said, for 3 or 4 years, 21 of the players who made those tackles were not suspended. So I think the NRL has only itself to blame for this, for not taking appropriate action in the past and allowing it to creep into the game. Another 11 players, outside of those 21 who weren't punished, another 11 players were only suspended for 1 week.
Mm.
There's only been three or four heavy charges of 4 or 5 weeks. So an issue that now everyone is talking about, an issue that has sidelined players for long months and months, and I think it's long overdue that the NRL, it's been highlighted, and that the NRL can now treat it as seriously as it should. The other interesting point I found, a lot of people, as per usual, whenever there's foul play in rugby league, want to blame Melbourne Storm. Craig Bellamy, Cameron Smith, they invented all sorts of things. It's very interesting the Broncos are by far the worst offenders. Since 2019, 8 Broncos players have been found guilty of a hit-drop tackle. Now, I spoke to Kev Walters yesterday, and look, I believe Kev. It's just a statistic that certainly he was unaware of. He insists they don't train for it. They've got a wrestling coach like everyone else. He thinks one of the reasons they've struggled in recent weeks is that they don't wrestle as well as some of the other clubs in the NRL. It's a fact of life. You've got to be good wrestlers to win premierships. But I think it's a really interesting story that it's been around for so long. But
Can I ask you then, Buzz? Because I'm sort of, yeah. You look at these hip drop tackles, and we notice them more now, but you're saying it goes back a few years. I'm just wondering why or how it's sort of all become part of our game now, and we're sort of more aware of it than what we were in the past.
Well, I think you look at the Hayes Dunster injury where he broke his leg and was sidelined for the season. Laurie, at the beginning of the year, sort of put it back on the map, but when it happened to Jackson Hastings last week and put him out for the season, it then started getting a lot more media coverage. But what all those photos, and I presume you've looked at the page in the Telegraph today, there's photo after photo after photo of these tackles being made. And it's like anything, the only way... And there's evidence that only adequate punishment will drive behavioural change in rugby league. If there's too many high tackles, so they have to do a crackdown. Some of these crackdowns are over the top, like we saw in Magic Round last year. But that's the only way they're going to get them out of the game.
Mm.
But the comment, it's been, until Ricky, unfortunately, made his comment, it was the story last week. Everyone was talking about it.
It's a nasty tackle. It is a nasty tackle.
Yeah, but you ever met Patrick Carrigan?
No.
He got 99.9% in his high school certificate. He's a trained, fully qualified physiotherapist. He could have done medicine. He's a really, really good person. I'm not sure he does I'm not sure any player does it deliberately.
Mm.
The way it's been explained to me, guys, is that there's a certain target area when you're third man in. Now, you've got to go above the knees these days, right, and below the hip. Sometimes if you miss your target area and you go above the hip, the player will keep driving his legs to try to keep it. So the player, the defender then slides down, puts his weight on the legs, and to at all costs stop the player, stop the attacker. But they've got to get out of the game. It's a tough enough sport without this sort of thing happening.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. It's a bad look, and it's one that can wreck a player's career. I want to ask you, Buzz, about what's happening with the government and the NRL in terms of stadium upgrade. And no doubt you would have seen those scenes at Leichhardt Oval on Saturday. And we're lucky that we're not sitting here talking about a very, very serious accident or possibly death after what we saw unfold at Leichhardt Oval on Saturday.
Yeah, wasn't it horrible video on all the news sites and websites over the weekend of that railing collapse at Leichhardt? Laurie, I've been banging on about this for years and years, that to spend $900 million on 42,000 seats at Allianz Stadium, the three football clubs, the Waratahs, Sydney FC and the Roosters, that only draw 15,000 crowds, was a waste of money to spend that much, and that they should actually have halved the cost, built a Combank Stadium there at Moore Park, and that would have left $450 million to these other suburban grounds, Brookvale, Leichhardt and Shark Park. I think what we saw at Leichhardt Oval was actually a blessing in that it brings it to the attention of the government that these grounds are unsafe. NRL is the major sport in this city, and we've got to be able to put football games on where fans can turn up every week and feel safe there. And, you know, we really do. And I can understand that so many people, there's more far north coast lost houses, and the government wants to divert money at this stage to making sure that they can rebuild homes and get their lives back. But why are they going ahead with Penrith, which I believe is a perfectly good stadium, probably needs a coat of paint and a few new seats? Why are they buying the trotting track at Penrith? Why are they bulldozing the current and spending all this money? I just don't understand it. I think the other grounds are far more in need of a refurbishment than Penrith is at this stage. So the government have had 6 sports ministers in the last 3 years. They've chopped and changed. They can't work out what they're doing, but they've got to sorted out soon, or we'll see more episodes like we did like after the weekend.
Yeah, I think you'll have a lot of people agree with that sentiment. Talking of the Penrith, though, Penrith Panthers, I mean, they've got some wonderful players, but I don't know whether they've got a more consistent player or a braver player than their fullback, Dylan Edwards. What a player he is.
Well, you know, we played through the finals. No media publicity. Nothing was heard about until after the game, basically with a really serious ankle injury. Couldn't train, was in a moon boot all week. He's a really, really tough dude, and he just got needled game after game. And again, he took a heavy knock the other night and just played outstanding. So I looked up the Dally M leaderboard when it closed, and he was running 8th in equal 8th with Dally Cherry Evans, and he was only 6 points behind Ben Hunt. I think he might be a bolter chance to actually win the award. I think he's a good thing to finish in the top 3. Apart from him being such a terrific player and picking up points every week, he no longer has, for the rest of the year, Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai on the side competing with him for points each week. I think we know Tedesco's the best fullback in rugby league. We know we've got Latrell Mitchell. We know we've got Tommy Turbo. But you know what? I think this guy is only a cigarette paper behind them. He's improved out of sight in the last 2 years, and I'm really, really happy for them, because while he may lack the a few of the skill areas those boys have just mentioned, his toughness and his effort plays are up there with any player in the competition.
What about Coach of the Year, Buzz? Who do you think's the leading contender for that award?
Mate, you're firing some tough questions today. I don't know who wins that. I know Ivan Cleary has the Panthers 6 points ahead and look like certainties to win the minor premiership. But then you've got Todd Payton. Now, everyone had the Cowboys in the bottom 4. I had them winning the wooden spoon. For him to do what he's done with that football side puts him right in contention for the award. The other guy, it's a 3-way race to the line. There's probably half a length between them, is Craig Fitzgibbon at Cronulla. I think that side has overachieved this year when you look at his roster compared to, you know, teams like the Roosters with their superstars. And I just didn't think they were going to finish in the top 4 this year. And they turn up every single week. So Fitzgibbon, Cleary or Payton, I think it's the closest race we've ever had for Coach of the Year.
What about any late, or what's the latest news with the Dolphins, Buzz? They've gone a little bit quiet of late.
Yeah. Did you watch Sean O'Sullivan the other night?
I didn't, mate. I had it on in the background, but I didn't watch it carefully.
Well, Sean O'Sullivan was picked up as a deputy to Nathan Cleary at the beginning of the year, and it was a really important signing for Penrith in that Cleary had his shoulder problems and missed the first 4 games. It was also important in that Cleary had to play State of Origin, and he's now suspended for 5 weeks. So they needed a first-class game manager and they picked him up at a budget price. He's only played 27 first-grade games, but my goodness, he's got good game management intelligence. He was outstanding the other night. He had two or three try assists. He was just directed them beautifully throughout the game. And I think he's ready to become a fully-fledged, regular, first-grade NRL halfback next year at the Dolphins. And mind you, he's not Daly Cherry Evans. He's not Luke Keary or one of the superstar players. But I can tell you, he will do it. He will get the job done for the Dolphins. So I think they can call off their search for a halfback. I think they obviously need a fullback and, you know, a hooker still to complete the spine. Cameron Munster's obviously contender, but they've got a beauty in Sean O'Sullivan.
You haven't heard from Clarkey, have you, Buzz?
Mate, I haven't. What about Clarkey, eh?
Living the dream, Buzz. Living the dream.
What about his stunning new lady, too? Jesus, he's doing well, isn't he? He's always been able to bat, hasn't he? Hey? He's a freak. Hey?
Well, he's over there at near the Eiffel Tower at the moment. He's sipping champagne.
Having a moment.
Is he ever going to pop back to work? Does he know we're coming up to the finals?
I don't know. Well, we're expecting him next Monday.
Don't think we're at the forefront of his mind at the moment.
I've never known anyone who will take a month off at such a crucial time of the year. Who has allowed this?
I know. Well, next Monday, I want you to put the hard-hitting questions on him.
Oh, mate, I'll be asking. Not about sport, his social life.
Good on you, Buzz. Thank you.
See you guys. Ta-da.